And we want to continue where we left off from yesterday. Now, we have coming on his way from Manhattan is Brother Hadley Hall, who was with us yesterday as we share together. Now, this is how this session is going to take place. It's an open session, okay? If you have any questions, you just pop your hand. We have mics here. It will be brought to you. And we want to answer questions biblically. What we are taking up and what we have been looking at is really the truth concerning the church, concerning Christ and the assembly, distinct truth about the church of God. Because many have concepts of what the church is supposed to be. Some believe that the church is a building. But we know that the church is people, you see, and we have gone through some things. We don't want to go through them again. Give us number one, Jesse. We went through this. The church began on the day of Pentecost. And we had extensive discussion about that. Because some believe that the church began in Egypt and various concepts move on. We look at what is in a name. One, most people, the word church means Baptist, Lutheran, Roman Catholic, Pentecostal, many things. Others think of the building. They see a steeple and say, that's a Presbyterian church or a Baptist church or something. But we want to make it known what biblical language. In the Bible, the word church always speaks of saved people. Either all saved people of this age or local gathering in a local community. The Greek word ecclesia means called out ones. So now the Lord called us out. Having called us out, come up, Brother Hadley, take your seat. So we went through all of these things. We really want to save some time this afternoon. Next one. Now, we also brought this before you. We are brethren. We are not Big B. Brethren. We are not Plymouth brethren. What is the difference? Terms like brethren, Christian, saints are common to all believers. We here recognize that every person who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior is a member in the body of Christ. Is a member in the body of Christ. Thank you very much. Is a member in the body of Christ. How to get to be a member of the church is not to get your name to be christened, as some would say, and to be baptized. But it is by being born again, you are added to the church, the body of Christ. The body of Christ. You are not the term brethren, Baptist, Roman Catholic, and all these things we went through yesterday. Where do you go? Where do you go? Eh? Where do you go? Where do you go? You go to the Gospel Hall located at St. Albans. Yeah? Listen. We fellowship at the Grayson Street Christian Assembly, okay? But it's a group of Christians gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful. Jesse, let's move on. Any questions? When you want to stop, you just stop us as we go along. Now, this was, again, what we went through. Now, the local church are not independent. What takes place in Brooklyn supposed to take place in St. Albans. It is not an isolated community. It is we are family together. And this is what the testimony of the scriptures bring before us. It is Christ is the gathering center. And this locality, says Brooklyn, this locality is Manhattan, this locality is St. Albans, this locality New Jersey, this locality, Pennsylvania, this locality, North Carolina, Florida, and all of us are interrelated. So now, and connected by the Spirit of God, and we have one teaching. So now, if someone is received in Florida, they are all automatically received in St. Albans and Manhattan and Germany and France or Africa. So now, even though, so no matter where you are, if somebody is received in South America, they are received in North America. Why? Because we are one body. One body is one practice on main issues. What is supposed to be practiced here should be practiced in every other place according to biblical teaching. Likewise, one discipline. If a person is put out here or excommunicated, they are also put out here. What happens now in many circles, and we're just touching on this so we could run on. What happens in many circles, if I'm going to this fellowship, this church here, this local testimony, and I did something that is bad, I decide I'm going to leave. Nobody gonna tell me what to do. I run things here. And then after I decide, well, you don't want me here, I run over here. And they receive me. Then after something happened here, I said, well, fed up with this place, and I go on here. This is not God's mind. God's mind is a body, and a body functions, so every local testimony should act on behalf of the whole. So he tells us one reception. And we are going to take up discipline later on. And so, to the church of God, which is in Corinth, and we saw, with all who in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Paul taught the same thing and expected the same practice in all the local churches, local assemblies, and there are verses there. Let's move on, Jesse. Christ, the gathering center. Now, there are individuals and there are denominations, we will say. We hear of the Baptists. They stress baptism. Now, in certain places, we want to say this. In certain places, they baptize babies. You're born, and it says, they baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But we don't do that. We don't teach that. Some throw a little water on your forehead and says, name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When we read scriptures in relation to baptism, baptism is always after you get baptized, it's to walk in the newness of life. After you rise, it's to walk in the newness of life. And likewise, baptism is an inward, is an outward sign of an inward grace. So it meant a work has been taken place in the soul. If you baptize a baby, there's no salvation there. There's no work of grace in the soul. So now, it tells us here, after they were baptized, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread and prayer. And where two or three are gathered together, my name, that's the Lord Jesus, I am there in the midst of them. The Lord gives his presence. When we meet the condition according to the name of the Lord Jesus, what he stands for, what he can stamp, and what says, this is my stamp, this is what I stands for. So when we are gathered together to the name of the Lord, we are saying we are maintaining a condition that the name of the Lord Jesus can be stamped there. We are gathered to him and him alone. When we say, I am of Paul, Paul was a deep brother. He was real deep. He expounded. He had revelations. He heard unspeakable words. He was caught up to the third heaven. Even Peter says, hard things that our brother Paul had brought to us. Some brethren like deep men. Oh boy, that deep truth. Some like Apollos. He's an orator. Boy, he make you cry. Tears come to your eyes. When he speak, he's so eloquent. Like Governor Cuomo years ago. Some of you wouldn't know him. But Governor Cuomo, when Governor Cuomo spoke, man, I tell you, you will say, boy, I will vote for him. Not President Bush. But the fact remains, he was a tremendous orator, man, mighty in the scriptures and eloquent. But then there was Peter. Peter was a practical brother. He said, listen, let's get practical, brethren. You know, you always do this heavy truth. And you always do this eloquent stuff. Listen, all of us, we need the deep brother. We need the eloquent brother. And we need the practical brother. But we should not be gathered to these men. We have to be gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus and Him alone. Men, we have to lose sight of. The best of us, as Brother Richard said this morning, are nothing but failures. Move on, Jesse. There is no letter G. Letter G describe a form of describe for worship, public worship. This is sometimes you go to certain places and you will find this is the pamphlet. And everybody come through the door, you receive one. And it is going to describe the order of service, how it is going to take place. Now, we will begin by welcoming everyone. Happy to have you here this morning. Happy for you and those who are here for the first time. So there is a welcoming on the top of the program. After that, we'll stop and sing. We'll begin by singing, there's power in the blood. There's wonder-working power. Wonder-working power. He says to those who are here for the first time, the first-time visitors will rise, so we'll acknowledge you. After that, there will be a song by the choir, and the choir get in the corner, and they with the robes and everything, and they come and they start singing. And as they rise, there's a conductor, and he's there, and everything is well-organized. Organized and well planned. But listen here, this is not what God prescribed in the word. Indeed, the place where the Spirit of God is given, if the power of the Spirit of God is allowed to work amongst God's people, and we are members of the body of Christ, He can dictate what goes on when the people of God comes together. It is called the leading of the Spirit. Leading of the Spirit. All things are to be ordered. Definitely, brethren, we want order. But the order is to be the Holy Spirit's order, not man. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone for the profit of all. By one, but one and the same Spirit worketh all the gifts. It says, be careful of here is how to do it. Mentality, let the Holy Spirit work. Now, what the scripture teaches is this. The scripture teaches that we are a body. And the local testimony should be a illustration or a little replica of what the whole body is supposed to be. Now, look at my body. I come in this room. And my body is one. And now I need some direction so that my hand will move, my foot will move. It comes, the direction comes from the head. And the Spirit of God now supports the dictates of the head. If the head say, move the hand, it responds. If the head, the Lord Jesus, decide to move a member of this body, then the Spirit of God will move that person led by the Spirit. So now headship helps with the leading of the Spirit, and lordship also. Two things we must learn. The lordship of Christ and the headship of Christ. You know, it's amazing. We come together to remember the Lord. Nothing is planned. Nothing is planned at all. But it is planned. Okay? No, I don't know what is planned, but the Spirit of God knows what is planned. So now it's for me to wait on the leading of the Spirit. That the Spirit of God, having the head give direction to the body, a member of the body, the Spirit of God will move that person. But sad to say, at times, some of us don't wait for the leading of the Spirit. Some of us just have a hymn we want to give out. Some want to have a special prayer they want to see. And some want to read a little piece of scripture. And sometimes it's not the Spirit of God. And those in the body can detect that. Can detect if it is of the Spirit. But sad to say, in spite of our limitations, the Spirit of God still works to bring about an order that is of the Spirit and not of man. Now much times people will come in and say, you all plan this arrangement, right? You plan this meeting Saturday night. And now you all come and you tell who to do this and who to do that. And the brother who came in and started to remember the Lord says, you know what? You not want him to Christ? Why he came and was and asked to be received and come into fellowship? He said the first time he came and he saw the meetings, he was convinced that it was planned before they came together. And he said the only thing that helped him was there was a clash at the end of the meeting. Two brothers get up to close in prayer. And he says, it wasn't planned. It wasn't planned. If it was planned, they would have never clashed. It's amazing how the Spirit of God works. And we went through this, Jesse. The priesthood of all believers. There's where we're starting with this one. This afternoon. The priesthood of all believers. Any questions before we move on? Mike. Right by you there.
From the last slide, are all the meetings operate that way in terms of the liberty of the Spirit, or can they be some planned meetings?
Turn back, please. Amen. Thank you very much, Benedict. Yeah. Okay. Now, there are called meetings. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Let's turn to it, please. Says in 41, then they that gladly received the word was baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine or teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread and prayer. Now, the meetings, the teaching meeting, the breaking of bread, and the prayer meeting must be spirit-led. Okay, Sunday school session, it's an open session, it's not an assembly meeting. It's not a meeting where we wait on the leading of the Spirit. It's a meeting where we can have an open forum setting. Likewise, at the fellowship meeting, it can be the same. Or the gospel meeting. Okay? The gospel meeting is a meeting that is given to the person who is responsible for that meeting. The evangelist. He could say, I want this hymn, I want that hymn, I want this, I want somebody to sing. That meeting belongs to him. But when it comes to assembly meetings, it's under the authority of the head, must be subject, the members, must be subject to the Lordship of Christ, and likewise allow the Spirit of God to lead and move as he will. That's function. Headship, Lordship, and the leading of the Spirit of God. He must be given liberty. Headship is when in relation to the body. But when it comes to Lordship, is in relation to every individual. The Lord, your Lord, tell you what to do. And the Spirit of God is going to support what the head say and also what the Lord says. Clear enough? Give her the mic, please.
Since the Spirit is leading in the meetings, why are some of the brothers so cold? What is happening?
Cold.
They'll come meeting by meeting, no word, not giving out a hymn, nothing at all. What is happening there?
Very good, very good. Well, anyway, bring in some fire so we could melt this ice. Cool. No, Sister Brown, this is something we discussed this yesterday. What happens, there's two things we have to look at. One is, the young men come into the meeting, they grew up in the meeting, and they've been sitting since they were 5, 10, 15, and then at 19 or 20, they says, I would like to remember the Lord. They come in, and they come into fellowship. And you know, this is my observation, this is my findings. It take a while for them to thaw out. It take a while for them to really get brave to say something before the Lord. But also, the next side is this. If Christ is your subject and you're enjoying the Lord Jesus, believe me, when you come, you will have something to say. So now, I have to take it the both ways. And I have to say, at times, it's a little word of encouragement to encourage the individuals, and it needs people with tact to do that. Because there are some people who will encourage people, and it's really discouragement. Because when they finish with them, the guy say, but he lock up his mouth and show with the key. Why? It's because sometimes they may not say it as it ought to be said. And then they are corrected. And after they are corrected, what do you think happened? He said, boy, if I open my mouth again, what do you think will happen? If I just say this and I just start, what will happen if I say something again? So it is grace to teach a young brother who is going to function on behalf of divine persons. It is very serious. So I feel at times, I'll put myself in their shoes. I was greatly encouraged. I made some mistakes, but I was encouraged by some and I was discouraged by some. But I have no shame, you see. So they couldn't shame me off and shut my mouth. I continue going on. Every brother is not like that. So we want to encourage them. 1, 2. Wilson. Look. Holy Spirit.
I was just saying, in light of the question, and I trust it would be encouraging, I think in many ways we have lost sight of the preciousness of the meetings. And I think Sister Brown might be referring to the coldness that appears at the breaking of bread. Am I correct? That we come together and we sit down and we just expect things to happen. Well, as Brother Brian mentioned, we want to encourage each other. And the encouragement will come like this. If you and I see this meeting is precious, then we would like to occupy ourselves with the one who we're going to meet. And that is going to take a little bit of work. It doesn't happen on my way to meeting. And I have young boys, young men who are in breaking bread now, and we say this to them often, but we want to say to older brothers as well, it just doesn't happen on your way to meeting. We need to encourage each other, wives. If you see a husband spending more time looking at the Yankees game, the Giants and the Jets, and everything that comes on during the week, and he's not spending time in the Word, spending time with Christ, you need to graciously tell him, look, Sunday is 2 days away. We need to encourage each other to spend time with the Word and with Christ so that the effects of it would be seen and felt on a Lord's Day. I feel what we're seeing in our meetings on a Lord's Day morning is barrenness, and we need to encourage each other to refresh ourselves, to build up ourselves during the week, so that on a Lord's Day morning, there is something for Christ.
Yeah. Well, hold on. Let me respond to that. The thing is this. We can discuss these things. But these meetings are for us just to search our hearts. We are not going into depth and looking at false. Our thing is to present what we stand for according to the scriptures. Because, listen, the secret, what we are discussing, that may be a symptom, but the root is lack of communion with Christ. And that's the bottom line. So no matter how we color it or paint it, as Sister Green said, she belongs to the Bronx. I said, what is this green and brown? I thought, you know, what color is that? What color that will be green and brown mix up? The point is what we are saying, okay, if a brown have a brown, a green have a green, but if we want to be excited about divine things, we need to get to the Lord Jesus Christ. Haggai, the Lord says, if you make money, you put it in bags with holes. You put on clothes, you're not warm. You bring home and a blow up on it. Why? Because my house, you leave waste, and you go on and build your big house, you go on and build this, and you leave my. So there's ample evidence in scripture why certain things happen. It's because of our lack of appreciation for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the root. James, quickly. And then
this may be answered in the next section, because I know you were going on to the characteristics of a priest.
Yeah.
But you talked about, and I wonder if you could just remember to maybe touch on the idea of us all being priests, what that means as far as our functions as a priest in meetings that are not assembly meetings. What each person's role can be is as a priest, men and women, within an assembly meeting and outside of assembly meetings. So there seems to be some discussion on that.
Okay. Sister, you.
Just along the same line, women as priests. I was saying it's along the same line. He mentioned women as priests. I was just going to add to what Brother Joe had said. Now, when we were growing up and going to the meetings with my mother, I realized that each time she reached a meeting, she would sit and hang her head down and pray. And most of the women come in and they do the same. So as little children, we say, oh, these people are tired. They're thanking God that they weren't dead. But, you know, after talking to her, and you'd find out why you do this. They say, well, they thank the Lord that they got here, but they also pray that the meeting proceed orderly. Yeah. And we must not leave ourselves out as sisters, because we too can steer the meeting through prayer.
Okay. No, I'm glad you brought that up. Priesthood of all believers. Now, when it comes to priesthood, I want to cut a thin line. It is sons. Sons are priests. It's sung real strange. Aaron and his sons. The Lord Jesus is leading a sanctified company into the presence of God. A sanctified company. Now, what we need to see is the priesthood of all believers is the place you have been brought to. Now, as a priest, it's not as a child, not as a sister or brother. We are going to clear that up. But as a priest, it's sons, and it's a place of honor, it's a place of dignity, and it's a position you have been brought into. I'm going to repeat it. It's a position. It's a place of dignity and a place of honor. No, when it comes to the priesthood of all believers, every believer is a priest. As long as you are saved, as long as you know Christ as your savior, you don't have, I said to a chap, a priest who was ordained and had a robe. And we went to Northern Ireland, you see, and we went into the Republic and we were handing out tracts and Bibles and what's not in dominated Catholic areas. 100% Catholic. One guy said to me, "Father, where do you serve Mass?" I said, he says, "Where is your parish? You're a priest. I see you handing out the Bible. So where do you serve Mass?" In other words, where do you perform your church? Your trio. So he says, "Oh, you're dressed like this. You're supposed to be in a priestly robe." I said, "I am a priest." He said, "You're a priest. You're a priest." "No, that's not true." I said, "I'm a priest." "You are a priest. And the thing is that what is the priestly function? The priestly function is to go in," it tells us in 1 Peter chapter 25, "we are holy priests." First Peter 2 verse 5. "We are holy priests, so we all can worship, offer spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God." No, every brother and sister can do that. We can offer something to God. And we can bring it to Him. But the fact now, it comes in the functioning in assembly setting. As we come together in assembly and worshiping at before the Lord. This is where the distinction we need to make. So He tells us our function is as holy priests, we can enter in, we have access. Access been achieved. We can go right in into the holiest of all. And likewise, we are royal priests. We come out to show forth the excellencies of Him who have called us out of darkness into His marvelous life. To show it. This one is for display. Do you know, as a priest, you are on display. You have come out to show forth something. And you go in to present something to God. Priesthood of all believers. Now, the question was asked. How this function should take place. Now we come together and let's take up the breaking of bread. We come together for the breaking of bread. And there are some guidelines for when brothers and sisters come together. And I believe the next one is going to explain all of this to us. The next topic. Okay? It's going to explain, one after this. Go back to the other one. Okay? The priesthood of all believers. No, it means we don't need anyone to go between us and God anymore. We have an high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart and with a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our body washed with pure water. We can go right in. And the scripture tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18, we have access unto the Father by one spirit. We can go right in. And to do what? We come and present to the Father our prayers and praises. Lord's Day morning, now we come together. We are gathered. We're going to put it together as a package. We come together. We are around the person of the Lord Jesus. We come to remember Him and to show forth His death. But also what takes place there is a wonderful time of worship around Him, adorating, in adoration, in thanksgiving, in prayers, and in songs. Now, what happens is the person who gets up acts on behalf of the assembly. He acts on behalf of the assembly. A priest rises, a brother, because the scripture tells the sister's place. Indeed, when we come together, and we are going to get that later on, the sister's place publicly, the brother acts on behalf of the assembly, and now all of us, indeed, at the end of his thanksgiving, should say amen. You know what is sad? Sometimes men in left field, and we still say amen at the end. Amen means, I agree fully with what you offer to God. And people believe just saying, amen! 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 Listen here. One brother says, you know why I say amen as I go along? It's because at the end I may not be able to say amen. So when he says something, he says, amen. Say something, amen! Praise the Lord. Don't say anything yet. Get a mic.
While we're on the breaking of bread, I've listened to different brothers blessing the emblems. And throughout the prayer, here and there, they mention thanking God for the body that was bruised. And then body that was broken. Which one is it?
You know, I will beg you for some patience. Why I go in and beg you for some patience? We have that at the end. Yeah, we have that at the end. Yeah. Brother Hadley, would you like to make some comments on this or? Yeah. Yeah. No. We'll let us slide for a while. Yeah, okay. You want this?
One point about the holy priesthood, and I come back to what Brother Brian said. In assembly, the men take the public place. Therefore, what they offer is audible on the behalf of the assembly. But the sisters are not sitting there. Now I wonder if I put the black pepper in the gravy or I didn't. Yeah. Well, when he's finished, I might be sure that this. No, you're also priests. So there's a function for you, even though it is not audible. Please don't ever get the impression that the brothers have to do the thing, and we sit there. Oh, I know who's going to get up next, brother so-and-so, and he's going to do such-and-such. And he will mention, no, we need to be in the spirit of what is going on. That's all I wanted to add.
And I want to add, too. I want to add. In relation to the breaking of bread, there must be an appreciation. Three places, the children of Israel celebrated the Passover. They celebrated it in Egypt. They celebrated it in the wilderness, and they celebrated it in the land. In Egypt, the world was shut out. Egypt is a type of the world. It was shut out. In the wilderness, it's a testimony. And in the land, we are shut in with Christ. All of this take place at the breaking of bread. Do you know, listen, we leave the world outside. Remember yesterday, we said Abram, when God said to Abram, listen, go up to Mount Moriah and offer up your son there. Go yonder and worship. And Abram said to the young men who was with him, and said, abide ye here with the ass, stay with the donkeys. I and the lad go yonder and worship. Since, as we come through the door, please leave your donkey and leave all your acquaintance on the outside. Because you're going in. You're leaving the world behind. Leave. Today the donkeys are your car, you see? Your car. Years ago, a donkey was. You see, in Africa and those places, a donkey is a real commodity. It's only I understand why a donkey is so important. It's money to have a couple donkey. So the fact remains, what the scripture is bringing before us is that when we come together, we are keeping in mind, we are shutting the world out. And likewise, we are bearing a testimony to all that come. If someone come in here, and if we are led by the Spirit of God, they are going to fall on their faces and say, God is in this place. And when they say, dreadful place, and tell you, like Job, like Jacob, where it's the house of God. This is what will happen. If there is subjection and submission to the leading of the Spirit, please, I'm begging you, don't be hurried to utter something before God. Ponder it. Wait. And the Spirit of God is going to let you know, okay, go ahead. But don't first impression you get, you shoot off. Listen, there's... Oh, see, I was stopped, brother.
Brother, I just wanted to say that what you just said is very important. Many times I've come to the meeting, brothers have what I call a thumbtack syndrome. They come in, before the seat even get warm, they're up on their feet, and they haven't seen which way the Spirit is going. The pauses in the meeting are just as important. Sila, to pause and reflect on what we have before us. We have to take note of the Spirit's leading. He can't lead if we don't give him room to lead.
Which? I thought you wanted
to. I did have a question.
Yeah.
What is worship, and how does the scripture tell us we ought to worship? Because if we go to different places, we see people do different things, and we all say we're worshiping. So what is worship, and how does the scripture tell us we ought to worship?
You know, I learned to appreciate you, you know. Yeah. You don't ask nothing easy. No, the thing is this. Let's define what worship is. Okay? Worship, it's the adoration of the heart with its object. Men will worship Michael Jackson. Remember when the prosecutor called for him and he was in his pajamas, said, "We want him right here, right now." Michael Jackson appeared in his pajamas and come to court. He was so mad. When he got off, people cried. Why? They worship the man. Worship is not so much action. Worship is the occupation of a heart with a person. With a person. Now, if you observe in scripture, Abraham worshipped. And what he did?
Fell on his feet.
Moses worshipped. Fell on his feet. Joshua worshipped. Fell on his feet. Boy, today, you kidding? People worship and start running down the aisle. All kind of stuff. You see what happened? Listen, one thing the scripture teaches: no flesh shall glory in the sight of the Lord. Worship is a spiritual thing. The scripture tells us in John's gospel, yes, he says, read that for us, please. John's gospel, chapter 4. Let's turn to it quickly. John's Gospel, chapter 4, and reading verse 24. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, who is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speaketh unto thee am he. Verse 23. The hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. A spiritual worship. So now we have to cut between all that takes place and ask, what is worship before God? Let's go up in the upper room. We're going into the upper room, Garrett. We in the upper room. Who was there in the upper room? Jesus and his disciples. And they were together. And then the Lord instituted the remembrance supper. And it's a picture of what takes place. When you get into the book of Revelation, it is going to give us a wonderful picture of a remembrance meeting. Let's turn to it. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And he says, in verse 8, and when he had taken the book, verse 9, and they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, and thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and nation, and had made us, made unto us a kingdom of priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Verse chapter 4. And verse 9. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord." Chapter 4, they celebrate the Creator. Chapter 5, they celebrate the Redeemer. What took place? It's just the occupation of the person. We don't have to say nothing. I was in a meeting where the whole meeting, it started. Not a word. It was just quiet. A brother got up, he broke the bread. And brethren sat down again. And at the end of the meeting, a hymn was given out. And a brother got up and spoke on, "Did you hear him? Did you hear him singing praises in the midst of the assembly?" I was a young man. I said, "What craziness is this? Hear who?" And know that is the Lord Jesus taking your prayers and praises from your heart and presenting them to God in his divine service. I tell you, brethren, if we come and depend upon the leading of the Spirit, you will be surprised what the Spirit of God will do. What happened?
I want to say that when it comes to worship, you don't have to be gray in the head. A lot of our little kids do worship. Brother Brian was speaking of people worshiping Michael Jackson. Who's your favorite ball player? You have a favorite. Man, he worships them all. Who's your favorite ball player?
Dwayne Wade.
Now, when he sees Dwayne playing, he doesn't jump up and just watches him play. And every move he makes, yes. Huh? Yes. I like cricket. And some of you here from the Caribbean know of Gary Sobers. When Gary Sobers went out, told him walk. And we watched that. And we copied it. Colors up. And we copied it. That was our hero. And when he just only had to put the bat in the crease. We copied that. Worship. Didn't say a word. We just looked at him and admired him and soaked him, everything about him. This is what God wants us with the Lord Jesus. That we look at him. There's that verse in 1 Samuel. He says, "See ye him whom the Lord hath chosen. There is none like him in among all the people." They were to look at the king and just take in all that he was. When we have done that, out of the heart will flow something. Psalm 45 verse 1.
Yes.
My heart is inditing a good matter. That's the worship. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. That's what comes out from the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Staying with the Psalms, how do you explain "make a joyful noise unto the Lord"?
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Praise God. Holy, holy. Listen, the thing is this. There is, in the New Testament, there is three kinds of song the scripture states. He says, making melody in your heart with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, the psalms is not the psalms of the Old Testament there. It means stately compositions that men have penned with their experiences. When the hymn, "Glory, Lord, is thine forever. Ever thine, thou art the Son." Then another man penned, "Lord of glory, we adore thee." Another says, "Lord, source and spring of every blessing." These are composition of individuals who have rarely sat and gotten this in the presence of God. The man who sang, "It is well with my soul," his family died. His family got drowned in the Atlantic. And when he penned that, he says, "When peace like a river attended my way, and sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. It is when we go through certain things, what we do, we call up the neighbor and call up the saints. Listen, go to God and ask God, out of this experience, give me something. And when you get that, I tell you, it's a well, wonderful, stately composition. Likewise, hymns. Listen. You know what is so wonderful about our hymn book? Our hymn book. And this is 500 hymns. The Lord Jesus never wrote one. Never wrote one. And you know what happened? There's so much songs that have been written about him that if we should start singing them, I tell you, it'll take us right into eternity. Wonderful hymns. But then after, there are spiritual songs. Some are not spiritual, brethren. And we shouldn't sing songs that are not spiritual. I'm not going to sing no song, crush the devil and all kind of stuff. Why calling the devil name for? We should sing songs, check out the songs and see if they're spiritual. So, the joyful noise is psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Brother James.
I would just encourage us to, as much as we have questions, understand that we're going to have a little question time at the end so that we can get through some of the other slides.
Okay.
All right.
All right. So, what you're saying to me, move on or take a break? All right. Thank you very much. When is the break, James? So I could push it. 2:30? All right. Okay. 2:30. We got to move it quickly. And, so now, the priesthood of all believers. You are a priest. And when you come in, don't appear before God empty. Don't appear before God empty. You as sisters, bring something for the Lord. You cannot offer it audibly, but what the Lord is going to do is going to, the Lord Jesus is going to take it and present it to God in His divine perfection. And young brothers and older brothers and middle-aged brothers, now if you say something, it may not be 100% right. But I tell you, I guarantee you this, on the authority of God's word, it will not get to God that way. It is going to be presented to God in the divine perfections of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you may offer your turtle dove. Some may offer a little sheep or goat. Some may drag in a bullock. But if you bring in your bullock and you give it to God, praise the Lord. But if I bring in my turtle dove, God is going to accept it the same way. This is the beauty. Bring something for God. God wants to hear what you have, what you want to say about His Son. God wants you to tell Him about Him. And the Son wants you to tell the Father, with the Son about the Father, the priesthood of all believers. As a holy priest, we go in. We have access. As royal priests, we come out. We are on display. Wonderful truth. Imagine the high priest couldn't go in once a year and he went through with fear and trembling. We, brethren, we have boldness to enter. And I tell you, you know, I read Mr. Kelly said it. It's not original with me. He says, you can always tell when someone is drifting from the Lord. They always start missing the breaking of bread. Remember this now? You can always tell when someone is drifting from the Lord. They always start. The first place they start is missing the breaking of bread. And he says, when you see that, you go after them. I say, hey, what's going on here now? Jesus is not attractive anymore. His debt, it means nothing to you. That's wrong. Any questions before we move on from that? Okay. No clergy. The other question. Go quickly.
It's about worship, because I know many of us here, and we know that in like certain of the Psalms where people worship and they had a heart adoration for the Lord, and it was also expressed into movements such as dancing and so forth like that. And you always hear the fact that David danced and so forth like that.
Yeah, David danced.
And so, is it to say that if there's a movement on our behalf based on what's inwards, then that's wrong? And I said, in St. Dan's, whatever you do or something like that.
Brother, so, you know, I thank the Lord that before I got saved, and probably this is the first time my kids hearing this. Before I got saved, listen, you couldn't get me off a dance floor. Boy, I'd love to dance. The Lord plucked me off of that. Delivered me, hallelujah, from the dance floor. Now, a lot of people don't know what dancing is all about and what it does. There was a chap who sang a calypso in St. Kitts last year. My wife is right here. And he won the world match. He became Calypso King. And know he sang on a Pentecostal church. He said he went to church. And he says, man, when people start dancing, he says it's Juve morning. It means carnival time. It was carnival time. He says, he can see the whining up and down the aisle. He said, not only that, one guy pulled him aside and says, all of this is in the name of God. I tell you, it was so blasphemous. So blasphemous. That we have to understand now what it means when we says David danced before the Lord. David danced outside, you know. David never danced in the sanctuary. And people always bring this thing. David danced before the Lord. One girl said to me, you could say what you want, Brother Brian. David danced before the Lord. And you could stop me from dancing. I said, okay, sister. No problem. One problem, one guy said, I dance in the shower. And I dance in one park. And you go stop me from dancing. Just like that. That's no problem, brother. But you're in the dance in the presence of the Lord. No flesh shall glory in my sight. So the point is now, where David danced. Even when David ate the bread that was not lawful for him to eat, the priest gave him, it was bread that was stale, and they took off, and the priest gave it to him, but he couldn't eat fresh bread from off the altar. He couldn't go in there. One king, King Uzziah, he was a great reformer, man. And oh, he did wonderful things for God. He get too big for his head, and he gone in the sanctuary. Hey fellas, I come in here to offer something to God. The priest said, hey, this is not for you. This is God has raised the priest to do this. And he gone in and he grabbed a censer and going to, and leprosy came up on his head. God says, listen, brother, you have to be careful. When it comes into the sanctuary, brethren, softly, you can enter with boldness, yet with reverence. So let people do what they want on the outside. But when you come inside the holiest of all, that's God's country. That is where God dwells.
So I guess with what you're saying, that explains also what is said in Psalms 149, where it says, let them praise his name in dance. Would that explain it also?
Yeah, well, that's Old Testament.
Okay.
Old Testament was always demonstrative. It was a picture of things. Symbol today is when you respond to the ministry. The harp is your voice. The string instruments is your heart. All of these things we can explain from scripture in relation to the New Testament.
Quicker. Say, for example, a brother is preaching, but he hears echoes around the room, hallelujah, amen. What would you say? Would you say the people are saying hallelujah, amen, wrong, or what would you say? Or is the overflowing joy of the spirit from the brother or sister's heart?
Listen, that's Sister Brown, two ways that work. Sometimes the preacher ain't saying nothing, and he's saying amen to get him going. And sometimes he's really saying something. If a preacher is saying something, I say amen. Amen. But if you ain't saying nothing, don't say amen. Just be quiet. That's all. But you know, we perpetuate foolishness. Because if the brother is not saying nothing, and this is a danger, you know, we can hit the stand and we throw off anything on the saints. Prepare something for the saints. If you're prepared, You know, I read this. Prayer, preparation, prevent poor performance. I'm going to repeat it. Prayer, preparation, prevent poor performance. 5 P's. I've got that from Jim Baker, the man who trying to help Bush right now. Yeah. All right.
I just want to make a comment, and again, it's in the way of encouragement. When we started off on Friday night, Brother Brian read from the book of Jude for us to earnestly contend for the faith that has been delivered to us. And I believe an area in which we have to contend for is in the area of the worship meeting or the breaking of bread. And the reason I say that is because the Psalms have, in a certain sense, impacted the breaking of bread. And what I mean by that, I often tell saints, I was Catholic, Baptist, and then Brethren. Small everything.
Okay.
But when I came amongst the Brethren, there were things I had to unlearn. And there are things I had to learn. And there are things that I had to give up from amongst the Baptist gathering. I walked with the Baptists. I fellowshiped with the Pentecostal. And what I see as a danger among us is what's creeping in because of the influence of these movements. And the Psalms have a tremendous impact in the way they worship, and it has a tremendous impact upon us. Unfortunately, and we want to encourage each other, when it comes to the Psalms, we have to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I think it's verse 32, it speaks about the Jew, it speaks about the Gentiles, and it speaks about the church of God. And we as believers today, we have to recognize, if we are going to be earnestly contending for the faith, when it comes to worship, what it's for the Jew, and what is for us as being a part of the church of God. And I believe if we are able to differentiate what is Jewish and what is for us as members of the church of God, then it helps us tremendously in our worship.
I wrote a paper on spiritual worship, and someone stole it. Someone who liked it more than me borrowed it. They cut it out my book. But I'll say this. I believe we can have at least 4 wonderful sessions on why we do what we do. This session is too short to do justice to explaining Psalm 45 to Psalm 50, where instruments are talking, where it is bringing before us why we don't use instruments. Since no instrument is going to heaven, there's no piano will be in heaven, there's none of those things in the sanctuary, in the holy place, in the holiest of all. What is there? All that is there is God's things. When you get into the sanctuary, the only light that was there was the light from the candlesticks. It means the Spirit of God must be pervading everything. When we get into the holiest of all, there was no light there but the glory of God. Now saints, I want to see the man who's going into the presence of God and dragging in a guitar. Oh yeah? He is not occupied with that. He's occupied with the person who occupies the place. We'll get to that. Go ahead, Jesse, quickly.
I was just gonna say about we're talking about David and different things like that. I always like when people bring that stuff to me, I bring up the example that there are other things that David did also.
Yeah.
I mean, David committed adultery. I mean, does that make it right also? I mean, because he did all these things. I mean, the thing is that we have to look at the guidelines that God has set forth, and we got to stop looking at men as we go back to some people saying they have Cephas or have Apollos of all these things. Is we take these things from men because a man did it, and we try to make it spiritualize it and try to take it as our own. But we have to look at the guidelines that God set forth, because as Brother Richard said before, I think you commented on that, we all have failure. And, you know, we see David, oh, okay, he danced before the Lord, but he also committed adultery also. I mean, that doesn't make it right, you know what I'm saying? I mean, we have to look at the guidelines that God has set forth, you know, and we have to follow them and not follow what man has done or what man has put forth.
Okay, and we'll add. Remember this. Is the place where we are determines what we do. An assembly meeting is in the holy place. Always remember that. And remembrance or worship is in the holiest of all. Do you know when we are praying, when we are occupied with divine things, we are in the sanctuary, spiritually speaking, though physically here. Okay? Go ahead.
I just had a quick question. You're saying the sanctuary and the holiest, but you're not referring to the building. You're referring to the presence of God. So does that mean that even if we're not in this building, even if we're worshiping, then we shouldn't be dancing then either? Or
let me say this. Let me put it this way. When we come together collectively, okay, I am going to leave. That's another subject when we talk about the Lordship of Christ with the individual. Okay? With the individual and the Lordship of Christ. When we come together in assembly, okay, and we get together, then it must take on heavenly character. The church is not from earth, nor for earth. The church is from heaven. She originates from heaven. I'm trying to keep it simple, but as you dig, I had to come up with some goal. You see? So the fact is that it's from heaven. She originates there. So now we have heavenly character living here on planet earth. We have to show we are different than Israel. We are not copying and bringing Judaism and mixing it with Christianity. The Lord said himself, can you take our old garment and put on a new piece of clothes? If the boat will be rent. Can you put new wine into old wineskins? It will burst the bottle. So new wine put into new wineskins. Christianity is something distinct and separate from Judaism. It cannot be mixed. And this is what people are doing. That's why you see people with a big robe. One man said he just became a doctor and he came with a robe. So, and he came out and he wear the wings and he's showing the robe. You see? Showing the robe. You get a dear brother, friend of ours, who you all know, left the meeting a couple years ago, and he joined a Baptist church. So what happened? They formed a choir. So after they formed this choir, the choir master decided, we need some robes. So when he tell the brother the price, the brother said, what? I want mine buy. I spend that money for robes. And he came back to the meeting. Came back to the meeting. Listen here. There was also a sister who was fellowshipping right here. Decided she fell up with brethren. Went to Floyd Flake. And Floyd Flake is a real preacher. If you hear Floyd Flake preach, man, tremendous preacher. Going to Floyd Flake place. She coming back. Done with that. So I went by her. I says, I hear you found some new truth. So I come in. I want to embrace it too. So I tell my wife, and wife says, I ain't going nowhere. I stay right where I am. But anyway, I went by the sister. I says, I hear you found some new truth and I will like to find it out. So because I want to do what is right. Oh man, she talk about this. And all she was angry with It's brothers, you know. I said, what Jesus did to you? Yeah? You mean to say, you will let men run you out of the meeting? I said, well, I thought you found some wonderful revelation, some new truth, and I come to find out so I could go with you. The next Lord's Day, she was back at the meeting. Listen, people need to know, we are not following this book because it's popular and it's the bestseller. We are following it because it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. 1 year, a book sell more than the Bible. And that's a book written by Benjamin Spock. Say, don't beat your children. Just tell them, I love you, dude. JT, I love you very much. And hug them up. And when they behave bad, says, oh, it's because you're too young. Yeah? He lost his family, and his wife kicked him out the house. Solomon said it. Solomon said it. As cute as they are sinners, and they need a savior. And the scripture says, he that spare the rod shall spoil the child. Solomon said it. So today, while you're feeding the children acting like some mean cow from Texas, we're beating up their parents, running them out the house. When I saw one, and the guy said to his mother, hey, you shut up your mouth. In my day, man, the thought could mean to run through your mind. Time it start coming here, it was a stop and drop down on the ground. Talking about. This is what Solomon said, and this is why, this is the problem we are having. The Word of God, they say, chase them early, and you will save them. And though when they start weeping and crying, say, oh boy, you're crying too much. You know how much I cry in front of my mother? Feel like she will stop. Stop her. She just give me some more licks. Anyway, this is what we're going to take here now. And we're going to stop in 5 minutes. There are elders in every local church. We don't have a pastor. Who is the pastor here? Who is the pastor? And this is a problem with young people. Who is the pastor? We don't have any. Leading man who says, I am in charge down here. It's a body with a head, but our head is in heaven. And now, what it is saying, there are elders in every local church appointed by the Holy Spirit to lead and to oversee. There are brothers that God has raised up. And I tell you this, sisters and brothers, young people and everybody, sometimes God brings and raise up local men who now will take responsibility. Be careful how you treat them. Be careful how you respect them. Be careful what you say. Because it's just like children. God has raised up parents and they decide they could tell the parents what they want. You kidding? That's God's authority on earth. God has given you parents. Likewise, God has raised up men. They may be young. And it was Timothy. And Paul said to Timothy, let no man despise thy youth. So now, what happens is, there may be two or three or four brothers in a local meeting who you find takes responsibility and God has raised them up. It's not that they ask for that. It's not that they come and says, I want to be a leading brother. No, it's God has raised them up. And if God has raised them up, they may have failures, they may have shortcomings, they are not perfect now, they are not perfect at all. And the more time you spend with them, you are going to find their flaws. But one thing, God wants everyone in the assembly to know, those that you identify in leading position, pray for them, please. Pray for them because the devil attacks from every angle, you know. And his job is, the first thing, if he can't get to you, he get to your wife. And when he can't get to your wife, he get to your children. And it's not that the brother is not crying unto the Lord, but it's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle. Listen, saints, I call my kids from St. Kitts, you know. I call Anna in the night. I call Anna at night. I used to call Amy in the morning. But Amy don't get up. You see? So when I call her, she... okay, go ahead. And we pray. We pray why? Well, I don't call him because since he married a wife, on the back burner, you see. We used to rap and talk and stuff, but I realized he married. Okay, Jesse, you know, all right. So, sometime I touch base with him. He don't talk to me. He'd call his mother and talk to his mother. Brother called me sometime. No more. Yeah, but the fact is, I realized the pressure of the children when you have to stand up for the Lord Jesus. Listen, saints, if your children are going on, thank God. Don't give them too much pressure, because just standing up alone is enough pressure. And the devil is after. He says, boy, I want to cause wreck up this home and break it up. So the brothers God has raised up, I am telling you, be very careful what you say behind the back. Because Moses' sister and brother did the same thing. I don't like that woman you married, you know. Oh yes. Elisha, all these men. God raised up individuals. And it tells us here, first, it brings the scriptures, always more than one. They help ensure that the gifts in the assembly is free to operate, not necessarily gifted for ministry, not bosses, but leaders. Not come and boss over the people of God. But the thing is that they may not be public speakers, but yet still, they have pastoral work. Is not from the stand. Pastoral work is secret work. You may not see him taking this place, but it's secret work. God does call, appoint, train men. When it means trained, I'm going to explain that. And put them in the ministry. For the whole church. No. Are we going to stop right here? Sorry. Give this a study. Oh, yeah. There is more. One after this. And we come into it. And I'll stop here. So the point is this. They are leaders in the meeting. Now, when brothers have a meeting, brothers meet together. And they get together for a business meeting to discuss the affairs of the assembly. One of the things you must keep in mind, why do they meet? They meet to get the mind of the Spirit of God for the company. That is, likewise, why do we meet for our open ministry? We want the mind of the Spirit of God for the company. We need a word from heaven. But when brothers get together, the leading brothers and others, and they discuss and they said, well, you think so? And they come together, they put their minds together, and sometimes sisters, brethren, fight like cat and dog too, you know, in the meeting, blackman, and disagreement. But all it is trying to work out what the Spirit of God wants. But after they arrive at that, you know, there's people who will question that, you know. They'll question it. I disagree with that. Brothers, after you have sat in the presence of God and have gotten the mind, you believe you have gotten the mind of the Spirit of God, then you have to act on that in spite of opposition. You will find it many times. These are areas where we need to look at leadership. I'm not talking about leadership like President Bush. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about leadership with vision. Leadership where the people of God see where they're going. Where they're going. And he says, the gift that God has given is the ordination for the work you are called to. Allow the Spirit of God to work in the midst of the assembly. I got to wrap up at this time because Brother James wants you to get something to eat. Any questions before we move? 2 minutes.
My question was basically just about local full-time ministry.
Local
full-time ministry. Just putting it out there on a whole why don't we have any within our local meetings here, and what's
I
the
tell
reason
you,
behind
sister,
it?
I've been praying about that. You know, it's a great need amongst us for pastors, people who will care for the flock, people who go visit the saints, people who go after the cast out, those who have been disciplined. I tell you, I was rebuked one morning by the Spirit of God. There was a young brother in St. Kitts, always giving trouble. And I came to a point in my life. I says, enough is enough. I'm not going to see him no more. And I was reading the book of Zechariah. And it says, I'll show you the instrument of a foolish shepherd. He will not visit those that are cut off, nor seek the young, nor him that stands still. I said, oh God, I'm sorry. And I went to him. I says, look at the verses God just gave me about you. And I tell you this, that young brother right now is a Nevis, a tremendous anchor for the people of God. I was ready to give up. But what we need in New York, we need people who will care for the young people. People who they can say, I could turn to. Hear them, because you all chat a lot of foolishness, you know, Kenlin. But I tell you, at times, we have to be patient with you. We have to listen to you. You know, you all go left, right, and center, and we have to use all kind of tack to keep you in. I went through that. But the fact is that we need pastors, but where they are coming from, ask the Lord to raise them up. Ask the Lord. Quickly, and we're going to close. Go ahead, sister.
I'm still seeking answer for that question that I asked. Yeah.
All right, this is, Brother Brian, allow me to.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. It is now 2:30. Yes, and I'm going to say it quite honestly, there was originally no true afternoon session because we thought we'd get straight through and without as many, but it's good that we have the question and answer. In order to facilitate the remainder of the slides, we are going to break we have box lunches downstairs. We're going to have that. And we're going to ask that as much as we could have a lot of questions downstairs, that you eat with some expediency.
Amen.
In order to come back up for those who can remain and so we can get through the rest of the session, okay? Amen.
Let's give thanks.
All right, give thanks. And after we give thanks, I would like the children to come first. Okay? All right?
Okay, let's give thanks. Blessed Father in God, we thank thee and praise thee for the sessions thou hast given. Now we turn to thee and ask to continue to bless. Continue to meet needs. Continue, O God, that the open sessions that we are having will be instructive, that we will be able to contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. We beg thee, O God, that this will not just be information, but it would be that which will stabilize the assemblies and help us, indeed, O God, to go on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless what thou hast provided now. Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So right now, I'd like all the children to come to...